right. God is good. Hebrews. The book of Hebrews.
Hebrews.
The book of Hebrews. Yeah, it's a good book. It's a good book. I want to begin with, I think, 11, by faith. I want to talk about faith. Faith, the reason we use the word faith is we don't see it. The reason we use the word faith, everybody else sees it. Everybody else pretends like they see it because they don't. You can't see heaven. You can't see heaven. But this book is, I'm believing in something I haven't seen. I'm believing in something I've never seen, and yet it fashions me. It causes me to be kind to people, to be loving toward people, to love even my enemies. This Christianity is in an unknown world. It's obscure. It's clouded over. You can't see it. Yet, we believe it. So, I want to begin with eschatology. What does that mean? What does eschatology? What is that? Well, it's the last things made permanent today, because you don't see them. But we can preach on them because it's in the Bible. And so I know all about it by faith. I know all about it by faith. So eschatology actually corrects your theology here today. Looking at the last things, you actually are looking where we're going, so you know your destiny is not here. You do not have a destiny here. My kingdom is not from this world. My kingdom is not of this world. It's in the world, but it's not of it. So by looking at last things, it actually disciplines you because you know where you're going. It's good to have a parent and you can see him, but not with these eyes, with spiritual eyes. So, but we saw Jesus. Well, we didn't see him, but we read the Bible about people who did. And that's real to me, very real. It's not real for everybody. It's real for me. And it's really hard when you find Christians. They're a rare group. It's rare that you find a Christian that loves God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. But when you do meet one, you've met a brother. You've met a sister from heaven. So it's powerful. So it's always good to have at least two friends, at least two, that you can talk to, because they've been there. They've been there. One that'll tell you the truth the whole time, and the other that will encourage you, no matter what the truth is. They'll encourage you. So you always have to have two friends. I don't think you can just depend on one friend to do that. One friend that every time you're around that person, they encourage you. The other friend criticizes you all over the place. Not a problem. Because you need someone to tell you the truth, and you need someone to tell you the truth. So they're both telling you the truth. You are this way in your behavior, that's why they criticize you. But by faith, you're one with me. David's like that. David Halverson, he always has a good word, yeah. No matter what. You've never seen him down. Never seen him cast down. He's always full of cheer and joy and give a good report even though it looks lousy, and he doesn't care. He just give a good report. Well, he does that by faith. So I want to read you something that's really good news. And this is really good news because it's in the Bible. Anything in the Bible, to me, is good news. All right. So let's begin at verse, I think it's 8. having been called out by faith, having been called out. Called out is actually the word for the church. Having been called out, in the Greek language, that is ek, out of, called, kaleo. Ek kaleo, or ecclesia. We say ecclesia in English, but it's actually ek kaleo. You've been called out of the world to live in another world that you haven't seen. And so, even though I've called out, I'm not out yet. I'm still here. So I'm called out of the world because the world's going to perish. I'm not going to perish, Janet. I'm never going to perish. Why? Because I believe in Jesus. I really do. And so you can't catch me depressed. You can't catch me. Or even if you catch me, you won't see me stay that way. I'll just copy David and have a good report. I'll say it's all going to work out okay. And that encourages Peggy because she likes to be encouraged. Is this it? Is this all there is?
Are we happy now?
Yep. Am I happy today? And so I always have a good word. Yeah, you're the oak of righteousness. You're the best. Oh, how God has blessed me with a perfect wife. So it's good. Good to be around people that will lie to you like that. No, that's not a lie. It's actually the truth. Because I believe the unseen world is more real than the seen world. I believe people that live in this world will be sadly mistaken. Because this world is not real. The only world that's real is the one we're talking about. And it's only known through this book. So having been called out of the world, remember, he was in Ur, and he called him out of the world. But in this case, he called him out of the land, his land of nativity. This is where he was born, a native land that he came from. I called you out to show you a land. I called you out to make your name great. I called you out, you'll be blessing all the families of the earth. People that curse you, I'll curse. The people that bless you, I'll bless. And so on. So he got all these promises from God. And he had no way to check it out. So he went with him. And he didn't have a map. He just had God. I'll show you the way. I'll show you where it is. Well, it was a God-forsaken land. The land he told. You know, if you've ever been to Israel, it's just a pile of rocks. It's just a pile of rocks. And not only that, it was a famine. Abraham get there and said, this is it? This is the promise? This is what you would promise me? A good land full of milk and honey. I don't see any milk and I don't see any honey. This is a horrible land. But God said, no, trust me on this. This is the promised land. Why? Because all the promises took place in that land. Everything God has ever said, most of it, took place in that land. Some of it, you had to be in another land, like he went to Egypt one time. He called his son out of Egypt and so on. Joseph went down there, and his bones are now in the promised land. But it all ends up in the promised land because that's where Jesus came. So I like to be where Jesus walked. I've collected stones every time I've gone. And then I hand them out, you know, to show people this one's from the, you know, where he was dead, you know, killed. This one is where he rose from the dead, you know. And then people steal them. And I shouldn't be so trusting. Well, that one was from, where? Do anyone have this one? And they wanted it because, you know, they didn't have the ticket to go over there and pick those rocks up and bring them back. You have to bring them in a sock or something so they don't notice them. And so I had all these rocks, and I always thought of making a kind of a rock thing of the Holy Land, put it on a map or something. But I don't have any rocks left, and the ones that I do bring home, I don't even write on them now, so I have no idea where I got them. But I always like to pick up rocks wherever I go, because you have shells and all kinds of things. You get, yeah, I found that right on the Sea of Galilee, and so on and so forth. Having been, past tense, called out by faith. Having been called out by faith. Everyone here has been called out by faith. Everyone here. Jack, you've been called out by faith. Don't see it. You don't have to see heaven today, but it's real. Heaven is so real. Heaven is incredibly real. It's so real that even though I don't see it, I believe it. Even though I don't see it, I believe heaven is more real than anything people call real. Like these chairs are real and this building is real, but I don't call that real. These will all pass away. These will all be gone. Everything here is going to burn up by fire. Do you know that? So whatever photographs you have, it'll be burned up. You won't be able to take anything with you. But guess what? The God who made this world, he can make any worlds he wants to. So he can make your photographs come back or anything. You know, you don't have to worry about anything. So I don't worry about anything because I know God loves me. I'm his favorite. Well, I'm his favorite along with other favorites. Equal to everybody. So am I happy all the time? Yep. All the time? Well, no. Sometimes I'm not, but the Holy Spirit quickly says, oh, you're not happy today. Get happy. Get happy. And so, sure enough, the Holy Spirit always wins. I always lose. So he won't allow you to be sad for long. You can cry. Jesus cried. You can empathize with people. You can identify with people. Because we were once a people. But now you're God's people. You're no longer a people. You're a God's people. You're no longer part of the Gentile world or the Jewish world. You're a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So you see, they talk differently in heaven than they do down here. For in heaven, everybody does what God wants. But here we kind of lag. We're kind of a lag, you know. Thinking of the future, but the future really is present by faith. The future really is present by faith. So I'm reading something about the future. So let's look at this because it will help me to know where I'm going. Even though I haven't been there, I'm already there. It's like you read a book and you read the book and it talks about a land you've never been to. But little kids, they don't know any difference. A little kid can read about something they've never seen, and for them it's real. There were really beans that the guy planted, and they grew up and become a beanstalk, you know. And they don't know. They've never been there. So they're just trying to take it in, but they believe that. Can I have one of those beans? You know, they want a bean and go out and plant it and see what happens. I think they wrote that so you'd plant beans. And so then you'd be a big giant. Fee, fo, fi, fum. You know, he has that big voice. And he's a giant. And God is big too, but not like that big. He's like bigger. He's bigger than all giants. Did you know God can accomplish anything on earth as it is in heaven? Anything on earth as it is in heaven. But he just needs people who believe by faith. Amen? So if you believe by faith, you already see it, but you see it with eyes that are not natural. You see it with eyes that are spiritual. If you've been born again, you're not of the flesh, you're of the spirit. And so now we have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual everything. Everything's spiritual because we're spiritual people that give spiritual blessings to God who is spiritual because God is spirit. And anyone who worships him must worship him in spirit, Holy Spirit. And in truth, Jesus is the truth. So God lives in a world all by himself. Well, it's populated by angels, the good angels. The bad angels have been thrown out. So the bad angels are now on earth. Did you know that there are a lot of bad angels today? You think they're just bad? They're filled with demons. I just want you to know that. These are just not people. These are people that have gone astray. They're not just sinner. I mean, they're wretched beyond measure. You can't even explain it. How can so many people lie? How many, at least once you should tell the truth, but people, you know, they just lie and cheat and steal, corrupt. So it says before the flood that men corrupted themselves upon the earth. And they corrupted everything. Well, I think we're getting close to that.
Yeah, we are.
We're getting really close to that, but this time by fire. Because it says so in the Bible. So every time you see a rainbow, you know, it's not going to be flooded. Next time it's going to be a fire. But fire purifies. Fire can purify. It can burn up the flesh, but keep the spirit. Oh, that's better than water. If you go down in the water and you don't come back up, you're drowned. That's it. You got to come back up within, you know, a couple minutes. Otherwise, you know, you're drowned. So I always call baptism a death and a resurrection, right? Because it's a perfect symbol. You drown under the water, and then before they run out of breath, you raise them up. So I like to hold people down as long as I can and then make sure they get up. Otherwise, I'd be doing CPR or something. So God is so great. He's so good. He's so awesome. How can I be cheap like I am? Because I'll tell you what, this good news is so good. You need to be happy. Even if you don't understand it, it's good. You just read anything in here, it's all good. Because it all turns out good for the righteous, and it turns out bad for the wicked. So it'll all turn out to be that way. Everybody's either righteous or wicked. And only God knows. So you can't even judge. Even if you see a person doing wickedly, you don't know whether they're a Christian or not. You don't know if they're moral or virtuous. You don't know anything. So leave that to God. Yeah, bless your enemies. If you have people that say they're your enemies, oh, bless them. Pray for them. Forgive them. Love them. So God has, don't curse them. Do not curse them. How many times would you want to curse people? Because they're bad. Don't. He said, bless them. Why? Because they're ignorant. They eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they don't even know there's a medicine. There is a balm in Gilead. So there's a balm. And Jesus is the balm. He's the tree that can heal you when you're full of sin sick. You're full of sin sick. And you need the balm. You need that balm that put that on. Woo! So that is the blood of Jesus purchased you, bought you. Having been called out, this is now Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Having been called out, ecclesia, by faith, pistis, Abraham obeyed to go forth to a place which he was going to receive for an inheritance and went out. Not understanding where he went. Have you ever gone somewhere and you don't know where you are? A few weeks ago, I was coming to Dallas, and I missed the turnoff right next to David's house. I missed the turnoff, and instead, I went everywhere, and it was all new, so I had no idea what world I was in.
It was foggy, too.
Yeah, and it was foggy. And so I never did find it, and half an hour later I showed up at church way late because I had missed the turn, and I knew there was two streets that were 121 and then two that were 35, but somehow I missed that and stayed on 121, so I realized I need to go north, and I ended up in Timbuktu, or I don't know where I ended up, and then I ended up way back on Story, you know, and then I finally realized, if I'm on Story, I'm way off. I'm sorry?
No.
What's that?
Then you pulled out your smartphone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't have one. So yeah. I don't have a smartphone, but I called out to God. God, help me. I'm supposed to be there half an hour ago. Help me.
I've done that over there myself. Spaghetti.
Have you? Yeah, you can get lost because they're all new buildings and everything's brand new. I mean, everything in Irving or, you know, whatever, wherever I was. But I'd stop into a gas station and ask. Oh, yeah, you just go up to the corner and turn right. And then I try it and I turn right, but I didn't know which corner, maybe, you know, whatever. So I'd stop and ask and then he said, no, you're a mile away. You just go back where you came from. Back where I came from, I just came from there. I'm trying to get north to 635, whatever it is. I want to get there. Oh, yeah, that's about 5 miles from here. 5 miles, okay. Well, if I just go on this road, yeah, just go on the road. Well, I went on that road and I didn't find it. So I never did. So I was asking directions, but nobody knew the Holy Spirit. They had no where I was going. So I just relaxed and praised God. You know, you can always praise God. Did you know that? Even in the midst of your trials and troubles and tribulations and so on, you can always praise God. It's never wrong to praise God. So, praise God. And I was all alone. Peggy wasn't there to say, you're supposed to turn off on the left. You know, she wasn't not there, so she couldn't help me. And I rely on her. Peg, you should have noticed that sign or whatever. But now I couldn't even blame her or thank her or anything.
Always take her with you.
Always take her, yeah. Amen. She's a good travel mate, yeah. Because I can blame her or thank her. All right. So not understanding where he went. You see, you're going to a place that you've never been. You're heading for Father's house. The Heavenly Father has a house. And you're the house. Isn't that funny? You're the house. Since you've never been home, you don't even know where you are. But he'd never been there, so he hadn't been there. And still to this day, he's just a pile of bones in the land of Israel. And he'd never been home. And he didn't even receive the thing on earth. He had to buy it with 400 shekels of silver. So he bought the cave of Machpelah in the West Bank. And the Muslims are all over the place there. That's got, you know, 3.5 million people or more. And then the other place has got another 3 million people in Gaza. So those two places are probably close to where the Jewish people are today, because there's only about 7 million Jewish people. And they have kids galore, and they're catching up. Pretty soon Israel will be a minority in their own land. I think God will come back. I think God will come. You can only build so many fences and have so many cyber security things to watch them and listen to them and so on. And so pretty soon there'll be so many that they can have a lot of people killed and they can still win. So they're bound and determined to throw them into the sea. But that's not how Israel will make it. Israel, her controversy is with God. It's not with people. Her controversy, if all she would do is just worship God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength and love her neighbor as herself, God would remove all the wicked. God would remove anything she's in bondage to. But, of course, she cannot do it because they don't go by faith. They go by sight. And so they're trying their best to be their best. But you can't try. How many of you have sinned? Even today. Even today. Peggy, I saw your hand. Anybody else? Yes. Karen? Yeah. Anybody else? I kind of thought it was me.
You were going this way.
Yeah. I kind of knew that. Somebody else that sinned today. Just a little bit of pride or a little bit of, you know, praise God, I got Dan on that one. Anybody envied? Anybody, you know? So, it's okay to sin because by faith, Jesus took my sins, cast them in the sea. They're no more. They're not anymore. So, Jesus took my sins by the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. So, because he took my sins, they're no longer mine. They belong to him, and then he died, and then he rose, and so they're gone. They're gone. They don't belong to me now.
Hallelujah.
They're on the cross.
Amen.
All on the cross.
Amen.
That's why we love to sing about the blood.
Amen.
would love to sing, not my blood. My blood won't pay anything. But his blood paid for everybody, even enemies. Everybody. Everybody's paid for. Prepaid. He prepaid everything so you can just come right in. But when you tell them the good news, they don't believe it. They know they have to expiate. They know they have to do something to make up for the two things they did wrong. They have to make up by 18 things they did right on the other side of the ledger. That's how you do bookkeeping. But God is my bookkeeper, and he keeps me by faith. He just said, Jim, just have faith. Just trust me. Trust my word. Believe me when I tell you the truth. It's the truth will set you free. And so he just says, don't ever think about it. Don't ever worry about it. Don't ever care about it. Whatever disease you have, whatever sickness, whatever troubles, whatever problems you have, I'll take care of them all. But just don't let go of your faith. You have to have faith, not seeing it, yet you believe. Not seeing it, yet you believe. How many here can say amen? Because you don't have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it to see it. So when you believe, then you see with spiritual eyes, not normal eyes. You're not going to see it here. You cannot. You can try as you may. Your natural eye will not see anything. All right. The next verse. By faith, he resided his residence as a foreigner. He doesn't have his green card. He's a foreigner in a foreign place. I mean, in a strange place. He's among the Canaanites. He's among the Amalekites. He's among the Philistines. The children of Israel have never had peace on earth, except for a few years under David. They didn't have any peace with Saul, but David had to be a man of war and shedding blood all over the place. But he was victorious. So, and then Solomon followed him, and Solomon started really good at first. Boy, when his prayer, they finished that foundation, that's what he did. That was so wonderful. He built the foundation, and then he started to build on it. And even though he finished his temple, remember it was all so smoky that even the singers who were all prepared, they had rehearsed and they were ready to go in there and sing praises to God. Yet God felt they were not worthy. And even he had, I think he had 700 concubines and 300 wives. So that's a naughty. That's not good. It's enough just with one wife. It's enough just with one wife to make her happy all the time. So you just can't even keep one wife happy. How can you keep 700 concubines and 300 wives happy all the time? You just can't. Amen? So poor Solomon, he went the way of the world, the way of the flesh. But you know, the Bible calls Solomon greater than David, even though David is greater. Did you know that? No. The one that builds the house is better than the one who shed his blood to get rid of the enemy. And David got rid of the enemy. He was victorious. And he'll come back as king. But the real son of David is not Solomon. It's Jesus. The real son of Jesus, of David, King David, is his son, Jesus. And Jesus said, he's my ancestor. And also, Abraham is my spiritual ancestor, and King David is my royal ancestor. And he's coming back. You've never seen him this way. King of kings and Lord of lords. He'll come back as a king because he was born a king. But he actually, that's by faith, he was born a king, but he didn't look like a king. He didn't look like a king. He had no sword, except the sword of the word, which divides between soul and spirit. Can you divide between your soul and your spirit? Can you divide between the soul? Let's say this way. Can you You have to have a knife that's really, 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 really sharp so that you don't hit the bone while you're carving off the marrow. You have to, you get so tight, and you can't do it. He says, just as you cannot do that, but we Christians have to divide between soul and spirit. My spirit is my new man. My soul is my old man behaving. Hypocrite. Liar. Right? So men call behaving what God wants. That's religion. Religion is what God wants. You do for God, he won't do for you. Ah, I like the spirit one. He does for me, and he doesn't want me to help him. Doesn't want me to do one lick of work. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Powerful. So if he wants to give me rest, I can enter into his rest, and it'd be Sabbath all the time. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. It'll always be Sabbath. So for me, this world is Sabbath. I don't have to see it, and I don't see it, but I believe it. So since I believe it, I'm happy all the time. Why? Because my behavior is not related to my soul. It's related to my spirit. So I'm drinking of a deeper well. So my spirit by faith, my spirit by faith, my spirit lives by faith in this word, in this word. So I read this word because I'm a pastor. I have to. You have to do this, David, if you're a pastor. You have to read this word every day. And even some of you could read it all on your own. You can buy these books. You can get these books. And you can read it all on your own. And you could meditate on it even if you didn't have time to read it. You can actually memorize certain verses. And when I was a Christian, I used to read all the good verses and skip the bad ones. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. When I became a Christian, that's what I did. I realized I don't want to read the bad ones. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. I don't want to read those. I'm going to read all the promises. And so I skipped all the laws and I just... It's like eating a fish with bones on it. If you don't like to eat bones, you eat around the bones and just eat the flesh. You eat the part that's good. That's the way I did it. So I was always happy because I was always reading promises. Peg would say to me, well, when is your fruit going to come forth? When do we see that? Well, it's coming, but I guess... That's Jesus' problem, so I guess you better talk to Jesus about that, because he must be slowing down on the job. Yeah, because I don't do works. I don't do good works. Jesus does them, and I guess he's slow. You better talk to him. Don't talk to me about that, because I don't do good works. I'm not good. How many know only God is good? Jesus said that. Only God is good. Only God is good. So I have faith. I have faith that Jesus will keep his end of the bargain. He's going to do his part. And Jesus was going to make me holy. And I don't look holy today, but I'll be holy tomorrow. And so I'm not worried about it. I know, you know, even though he may lag, I'm sure he's doing everything just right. Because it's by faith. Do you see the power of faith? See, this is the power of faith. You don't have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it to see it. And because I believe it, I see it. I see it. I see it. So I like to live by faith. Everything is going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. I like to zippity-doo-da every day. So I do that. And so I don't pay attention to things that bother other people. Yeah, they're bothered by people behaving. I'm not bothered. I think it's wonderful. I get to save now the cold. I get to save the lukewarm. I get to save people that are no good and hated and despised. That's why I go to all the places on earth that no one wants to go. And did you know what? I get a big harvest. You know why? Because no one wants to go. They don't want to go to that place because it's a rotten place. So I like to go to Russia. I like to go to, you know, Moldova. I like to go to places no one else wants to go. Why? Because I'm not afraid of Muslims. I'm not afraid of, you know, bad guys. Because all we have is bad guys, unless you're a believer. And so, and you know what? I meet believers in the place where I'm supposed to meet Muslims. Someone will come up to me and say, "You're a Christian. I can tell by your smile." And pretty soon, that's a brother. And I didn't even know it. And he's the one that checked my baggage and let it go through. So you never know how God rigs the world for the beloved. Did you know that? You're the apple of his eye. You are the one that he never abandons. Even though you feel that way sometimes, don't go by your feeling. Go by the word. Don't go by your thoughts. Go by the word. "Lord, this is looking horrible." Yeah, well, don't look. "Oh, I'm not supposed to look?" No. Look at the Bible. Oh, so look at him through the Bible. Don't look at it. So I never look at it. If you look at it, you will never grow. I look at him. Because this Bible is all about Jesus. Remember that? He said that to the Jewish people. You search the scriptures. You're always looking at the scriptures. You think in them you have eternal life. It is they, the Old Testament, that bears witness to me. Every jot, every tittle in the Old Testament always says Jesus, 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 Jesus. So I like the whole Bible. It's all full of Jesus. Everything is same story, same story, same story, same story, same story. "I love you, Jim. I love you, Jim." I can read that on every page. "I love you, Jim." Next page. "I love you, Jim." Oh, it's the same as the other one. "I love you, Jim. I love you so much, Jim." So I like to read the Bible because it's always on my side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. All right. Now, this is how it ends up. By faith, he resided as a foreigner in a land of promise. That means you don't see it. Promises are always time-bound. Living in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Well, you see, he had a tent instead of a house or a temple. Now, you and I are the temple of the living God. Did you know that? So, he is looking for a house with foundations. That's the city he's looking for. "I want to go to a city," he said, "and it's not Ur. I had to go here to the Holy Land, which doesn't look holy. But I had to go here and find out it's the lowest spot on the earth." A lot of people don't know that. It's on a deep impression in the earth. And on that, it goes 1,300 feet down. And so on the way from Israel, you have to go down. Then you have to go up. So it's hard. A lot of people don't like to go there. But some of the greatest fruit is grown right there in Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. So you have to get down there. And those grapefruit are really big. They're really huge. But it's because it's such a warm climate. It's like a greenhouse. It's beautiful. And so everything is richer there. The Holy Land is full of surprises. It looks like a pile of rocks, but it's not. You can just put a little water on a rock and it'll sprout a tree or something. Something will come forth. Did you know that you can do that anywhere in the desert? You can just put a little water on it and little flowers will come out, you know, seeds, all kinds of things. Where did that come from? But the flower, you just put water in a desert place and it'll become lush. So water is the biggest problem on earth. Where's the water? But I'm not talking about that water. I'm talking about living water. Where is the living water? I had a woman come up to me yesterday. "I like the message you gave." And said, "I want to come to your church." It's a stranger. I don't even know her name. I saw it, but my memory's gone, so I can't remember what I saw. But, and everyone I asked, I don't know. But anyway, she She said, the way you just preached, the way you just spoke. And she asked me this, do the people at your church raise their hands? So I knew she was Pentecostal. So I said, oh yeah, I want to come to your church. I want to hear how you preach. So that'll be good. That'll be good. All right. Co-heirs of the same promise, that is son and grandson. For he looked for a city having the foundations of which the builder and maker. I would say this. I would reverse that. I would say the designer, the architect, and builder is God. Because those words bear up what I just said. So it isn't whose builder and maker is God. It's actually the designer. God designed this world to bless you. In this world, you can be blessed. All you got to do is meet Jesus. Amen? You see, a lot of smart people that go to school, SMU or one of the U's, they're so smart, they just pass Christianity up. They're so smart, they have no wisdom at all, and they're called fools. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. So I'm not part of that group, but I used to be. But now I'm not part of that group. I got wisdom. So knowledge is worthless without wisdom. A lot of knowledge today, it's all on the internet and so on and so forth. But you have to have wisdom to know what's true and what's false. You have to have wisdom to know how to use that in a way that's profitable to you. So I didn't read the internet. I read this. I read this book. Because this book has everything I need. Everything I need to know about politics and economics and society and how people live together and heaven, it's all there. Nothing is missing. There's nothing you say, that's not in the Bible. It is. It's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. But you have to know the original languages to get it out. And that's why I do it. I do it because everything. Like justice. They don't know what justice is. I do. They don't know what truth is. I do. You have to know everything, and the Bible defines it. And you have to read the Bible over and over and over again. Morning and night. You can't read it just in the morning. You can't read it just at night. You got to be morning and night, morning and night, morning and night, morning and night. So I do it because it says so. That's what he said, Joshua. Meditate on my word night and day. You got to do it morning. They call that, you know, not evening vespers, but they call that matins in the Latin. Matins, meaning morning, and then night, vespers. If you were Catholic by background, you were raised that way. You were trained to do that. But it's right. It's in the Bible. So I believe in that. I believe that you need to read the Bible. The only problem is they look at tradition rather than the Bible. They know there is a Bible, but they regard tradition equally, if not sometimes greater. And so that's what the Reformation was all about. Which is going to win, the Bible or the church? And the church said church, but the other guy said, no, Bible. I exalt my word above my name. Wow, that is really exaltation if he exalts his word. You know why? It's for you. It's for you. Because you don't see it, but you have to believe it without seeing it. You have to believe it and you can't check it out with your mind, your will, your emotions. You can't check it out with anything here. I don't want to check it out. I don't want to see it. I don't care that I understand it. I just want to read it. And as I read it, it quickens me from the heart to the soul to the body. Until my whole life is now transformed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Glory instead of glory. In other words, you have to grow and you have to develop those muscles that you have. And your new man likes reading the word. People hate it. You read the word and it doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But Raul knows. Unless you read the word, you don't have any questions. But if you read the word, you get questions. And if you get questions, you need to have somebody has an answer. So every time I see Raul, he has questions. He probably has two today. He doesn't come one with one. He has two. My first question, and then he's got another question. And it's good because he's reading the Bible. He said, I didn't understand that. That didn't make sense. You know, so. And people do that. They come up to you and say, you know, I know you know the Bible. What does it say? What does that mean? And people did that yesterday. Because how do they know I'm a Christian? Because I never said I was a Christian. I didn't say that. But the way I talk, they just know you're a Christian. You're a Christian. You're someone I could trust in, someone I could believe in, because I don't change. I'm still a Reagan conservative or whatever I was, and I haven't changed a bit, because he joined together the moderates and the, you know, fiscal people and then the value people. He joined them together, and then we win. That's how we win. He saved the Republican Party from going down the drain. Because we never won. Democrats were always winning. And that's how he saved us. Well, I'm going to join together two kinds of Republicans. One is, you know, Christian right group. And then the other is these other people. They believe in values. They believe in fiscal. Let's join them together and win. He won. And he won right here in Texas. People, just First Baptist, you know, he said, can't work, so on and so forth. And I was there when he said that. I was at that church, because he was invited there, and he said that, you know, it's like, this is not going to work. But it did work, and everybody was surprised. And you know what? After that, people started, they were Democrat, they became Republican. When he saw, hey, the Republicans, they're taking over. Hey, let's go where the action is. So they were won because of pragmatism, of utilitarianism. They just said, yeah, that works, because he's in charge now. People will always follow whoever has the power. But we follow that Jesus has the power. Now, I don't care about how many people are against me. I only want to know if Jesus is for me. I don't want to know how many people are against me. I don't care. All I want to know is Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's it. That's it. We are weak, but he is strong. I love that. I love that little song. You can't get beyond that. There's no theologian in the world that can get beyond that song. Jesus loves me. That's first of all, that's in the Bible. For the Bible tells me so. That's the part. But faith. You have to have that faith. And you're weak, he's strong. So he makes up anything I lack, he takes care of it. So Jesus is awesome. All right. Now here's what I want to say to you. I want to read this. You don't know this story. You know about it, but you don't know it detailed. God and liberty. Where did we get that idea? Where did we get that idea? God and liberty. It was on a flag. This flag was found by Santa Anna after he'd burned every American, everyone that came from America, burned them all. That's called a war, not just to who's the winner. This is a war of extermination. Completely kill everybody from up north. Just kill them all. So he did. And he found this flag and he sent it to the Mexican government, of which he was now the leader. But he had to win over Sam Houston. He had to win over him. And so he had thousands of troops, thousands, at least 7,000. But he divided them up and said, let's go through the land and we'll meet Houston somewhere, because he's always retreating somewhere, but we'll meet him somewhere and then we'll slaughter him. And so he had, you know, 1,500 troops or whatever he had. But he had, over a few miles away, he had another 2,000. And over here, we had another. And so they were all trying to screen him out and get him. And so this Santa Anna, he read this flag. God and liberty? That's not true. God and slavery. They all got to be under me. I'm going to be the Napoleon of the West. And so he had this idea that you got to get this idea out of your God and liberty. God's not for liberty. But you and I know he is for liberty. So I hate civil and religious tyranny because I love civil and religious liberty. And that's what made America great, and that's what made Texas great. And I even exalt Texas above America because what the Americans wanted to do, they weren't able to put off. They weren't able to pull off. They weren't. Even though they had the words, in a few weeks, everyone wanted to make money. They wanted to make money. And now Texas is rich. But we didn't want to make money. We wanted to know Jesus. How's that? Because all the stuff they quoted was out of the Bible. It, the Mexican government under Santa Anna, denies to us the right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience. That's liberty. You see, when you know the truth will set you free. So he just quoted that right out of the Bible. That comes from Corinthians, the 9th chapter. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9. And so you can read that. Just pulled it right out of the Bible. Pulled it right out. The United States government didn't do that. There's hardly a mention of God in the United States Constitution. Because it's a constitution, it's political. So they're secular. But in Texas, we had no apology for God. We want God. We believe in God and liberty. We link the two together. Link them, God and liberty. You want to be liberated from Santa Anna's exterminating you? Just trust in God. So when Travis was going around trying to do things and fanning, you know, all these guys were writing, always put at the end of their letter, God and liberty. Kind of the quote, they quoted it. It's at the bottom of the letter, God and liberty. And so when he found that flag, he said, hey, this is what they're all about. We got them now. Because this is what they believe in. This is wrong. You have to have big kings and big businessmen and so on. They'll be free, but everybody else, a slave, peon, nothing, zero. Well, so he believed that all those Mexican people, kill them off. It doesn't make any difference because they got a lot more. And so he didn't worry about it. He had 7,000 troops, and Sam only had about I think 382 or three, and so it depends on how you count. But so he was outnumbered. He was outnumbered by his enemies, and so there's no way he can win. But within on the 21st of April, not here yet, 21st of April. In 1836, at about 3:30 in the afternoon, they were making a parade, showing our troops, 183 or whatever they had, and the other one was just lit. It was kind of like late in the. It was siesta time.
Yeah.
And siesta time, and so. He was not worried about the few troops he had because he had more than double or, some enormous amount. And there were other people that could easily come across the bridge and help him out and so on. But Houston decided to tear the bridge down, totally destroyed, they can't get over. So he cut off all their retreat because with his 183 determined people, he knew our people are, even though they marched all night, I don't care. They're ready to fight. They're ready to win this God and liberty. And so within 18 minutes, they surrendered. 18 minutes. That's it. I've been preaching for half an hour or something like that. But just 18 minutes, it was over. And they'd already killed more than they had. 800 or something like that, 700, 800. And then there's another 700. They surrendered. And then he had all of his troops. And Santa Anna snuck out. And the next day they found him. And people said, don't say who I am. Because he just had, a peon's clothes on. So he looked like he was going to escape. And then but when the Mexicans saw him, they said, El Presidente. uh-oh. They said, oh, El Presidente. And he gave himself away. And so that he lost. And he never, ever, ever was successful in coming back. So we had God and Liberty won that day. And God and slavery lost that day. So sovereign liberty, tyranny, despotism, out forever. We were the first country, America, and the first state, one state under God, that believed in God and a liberty for everybody. Everybody equal. Not just saying it, but saying everybody, every citizen and every man in Texas, they have the right to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. They don't have to check with government. They don't have to limit the government. We're not following the British who believed in the Magna Carta and all those kind of things. We're carrying it all the way with Jesus. So Texas is still known as the, I don't know, the buckle of the Bible Belt thing. And so we're still known as that. People will say, you know, Texas has got a lot of Christians. That's why I came here. And I found out a lot of Christians were hypocrites. That's what I knew what they said. There's Christians down there. I want to go down there and see them. I want to check them out. And so that's how I became a pastor down here. But I realized when I saw them, these people just, they don't believe in smoking in the church, but they believe in smoking on the porch. So they're hypocrites. And, you know, Sunday they're in church praising God, but Monday they're selling you a used car that's not worth anything. I mean, so I realized, well, this is hypocrisy. And so since I wasn't a Christian, it didn't bother me that they were hypocrites. It's just that you shouldn't be a hypocrite. Either get rid of it or do it. And so if I ever became a Christian, I'd want to go all the way or not at all. I mean, why just be a hypocrite about it? Let's go all the way to the death. I knew that. And when I became a Christian over in Arizona, I realized, man, if I become a Christian, I'd be zero, because I haven't behaved my whole life. Never have I behaved. I've always broken the laws. I've always done everything I wanted to do. And I've always been happy about it. And I never felt bad about any sin I ever did. So I don't care about that. I don't believe in God. And I don't believe in the devil. And I don't believe in heaven and hell. None of that motivates me. I just want to survive every day. Just survive. If I can just survive. And if possible, thrive. If I can lie enough and cheat enough and steal enough, I can maybe make it. So I had a criminal background, mafia background, and I didn't care. I want whatever it is. The way it is, that's the way it is. No God in there. No God. I'd never been to church till my third father forced us. You all know the story. And he forced us to go to church. And that was 11. But when I became a Christian, I went all the way. I knew it. And when you go all the way, I didn't even tell anybody. I just knew that I knew that I knew. And it's like, wow, there is a God and Jesus is his son. I'm going to follow him all the way. To the death. To the death. I knew this what it said. I'd read the Bible. I had head knowledge, but I didn't have heart. There's no heart in it. Lip service without, you know. But I didn't even do the lip service. I knew that was phony too. I used to take the money out of the, when they, you know, put the money thing. And you put the money in there. I used to put my hand in there as though I was putting money in, because everybody has their eyes closed and so on. And I'd steal out the money because I'd think, well, someday I'm going to be a pastor, so I need to have this right now because I'm broke. So people didn't know it because I'd click the bottom with this thumb as I'm holding it. I'd click the bottom like I put in a coin or something and pull it out. How many know that was bad? That was bad. Especially in the house of God. Because I didn't believe in sacred space. I didn't believe it was the house of God. It was just a building. So I found out now that faith alone really works. How? I don't know. I just do what he says. You just do what he says, and pretty soon you're a Christian. Because faith cometh by hearing. Not with these ears, but with spiritual ears. And all of a sudden, one day, I was a non-believer, non-believer, non-believer. One day, I was a believer. Just like that. And I knew, that's it. That's the end of me. That's the end of me. Now I'll never be Lord of my life. I'll never be in charge anymore. And since Jesus does it all, I can just relax, let him clean me up, born me again, then fill me with the Spirit, then empty me of me, then make me perfect in Jesus' name. And sure enough, he's been doing that. I'm having a ball. How many know that a Christian is always happy? Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. That's what it says. It says that. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Andrew, are you happy?
Uh-huh.
Woohoo! Lynn, are you happy?
Yes.
Yes. Peggy, are you happy?
Yes.
Sam, are you happy?
Ecstatic.
Hey, are you happy?
Amen.
Amen. Why? Faith. You see, you don't have to see it. You just believe what you haven't seen. The best is yet to come. So, this is what it says. The heavenly creator, God is in the heaven, as a loving father, has graciously endowed every individual, not group. I don't believe in groups. I believe our group is always individuals gathered together in Jesus' name. That's what it says. We're called out. But you have to be called out as individuals. You're not just part of a group. So I don't believe in titles and all that kind of stuff. So when you're an individual and you believe in your heart, but how can I judge Peggy's heart? How can I judge anybody's heart? I can't. Because only God knows the heart. Only God knows the heart. He knows your innermost soul. He knows everything about you. So we can only judge by outward behavior, but outward behavior, you can't tell if the person's a hypocrite or a liar. You can't tell whether they're doing it out of morals or they're doing it out of virtue. You can't tell whether it's spiritual or flesh. You can't tell. We have no way of knowing. We're just believing what we see. So you don't even know yourself. Paul says, I'm not yet perfect. So he didn't even know himself. But I know, I have confidence, I'm fully persuaded that God is able to finish what he began. And so he said, the good work he began in you, he will surely, certainly, without doubt, finish what he started. How many know that God is not a starter and not a finisher? So everything he's ever said, he's going to make it come to pass. That's why the future is actually today. I'm already in the millennium. I'm already in the new heaven and earth. Already. I'm not living in this world as though this is my world. This is not my world. I'm already in the millennium, where everything will be righteous and true and wicked will all be gone. And I'm already in the new heaven and the earth, because I will be part of the new heaven and the earth, because we are the new heaven and the new earth, according to the Bible.
Amen.
So, since we are, wow, nothing has been withheld from us. So why not have fun here?
Yes.
Or why not have joy unspeakable and full of glory? Because fun is just a human word. It just means you had a beer. It just means, you know, you're addicted to something and you have it. But then it'll go away. So I don't believe in fun. I believe in pleasure. What? Pleasing God. How do you do it? Doing nothing. Letting him do everything. Take whatever he does by faith. And someday we'll see him as he is. The heavenly creator, his loving father, has graciously endowed every individual with a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his own private, personal, individual conscience. That is what has changed the world. That is what Catholic did not believe. They believe that God want everyone to obey not only your rulers, but also obey the Pope or whoever, the teaching magisterium, whatever it was. You have to believe in masters and lords. No, I don't agree with that. That's not true. You are the master. The government and the church is subject to the word of God, period. So since that's true, I've just reversed it. Now you are the reason this world exists. C'est à vous que trust, French, which means you are the reason this world is just. You are the reason that you are righteous because of the word. You read this word, it'll tell you everything. So what kind of future do you have? Bright. A bright future. Why? Because everything's going our way. Do you have to see it? No. I just believe it. I don't have to see it. I already know. Everything is being rearranged in the world today. The whole world is being rearranged for us to win. And the Jewish people, who are part of the new creation, and we're part of the new creation. So you're no longer Jew, you're no longer Gentile, now you are a new creation. Kine katesis. New creation. New of another kind, a quality change. Not just a new ball, not just another ball. This one's brand new, never happened before. Never has been on this natural earth. This will not be natural. This will be spiritual. Because God is spirit, and you must worship in spirit and truth. This gift is equally bestowed, equally given to every individual in the world. This gift, that you have a right, that you have a right. You don't have to do it. You don't even have to exercise that right. You can just have the right, but don't use it. And that's true in Texas. You can worship a stick or a stone, or you know, you can worship a tree, or worship your own mind, or worship yourself. You can do anything you want to do. That's your religion. You chose that as your destiny. But I chose Jesus. I chose Jesus. So, this gift is equally distributed to all men. So everyone here who's a citizen or a person, natural person or a citizen, natural person is first. You have to, if you're a natural person, you have this whether you're Texan or not. But if you become a citizen, you also have this. Because it's guaranteed not only by natural law, not only by revealed law, not only by, but also it's the people are sovereign. They are inherently the supreme political sovereign. Not kings, not parliaments, not democracies, not anything else. Those are all corruptible. This one is not man-made. This one is the people. Are the natural inheritors of sovereignty. Always the people. You see, before it was always kings. Then it became parliament. Then it became democracy. We skipped all of those. We are on a republic of laws. A republic where the law is over the king, not the king over the law. So we reversed everything that has ever been done on the earth and created America. And now, specifically, because I believe we have a different destiny than the rest of America. And I believe many, 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 many states will follow Texas's example. I can prove this, but just believe me. Texas is now the only economy that works. Even the others, which they have something, they don't. They're mortgaged to the hilt. We're the ones, you know, buying their mortgages. I mean, we're the ones that have, you know, all the resources and so on and so forth. Too bad. No Mexican wanted to live in Texas because there were Indians galore, and some were hostile, some were not. But there were Indians with the Comanches and the Apaches and so on. These were aggressive people. So they didn't want to live here, and all you had is missions. There were missions. They're still there. Those missions were, and they had big walls, and it was hard for the Indians, you know, to get ride their horse and get over the wall. But they had it guarded, so those didn't last either, because the Indians, they couldn't be enslaved. Nobody could really enslave them, because the Indians, just one day, they'd just steal all your stuff and be gone. So when Sam Houston won the victory, they were worrying, what will we be? Bible. And his wife, he married again. He left one somewhere and come down and married another one. Because he was a drunk all the time. Didn't know where he was going. But he was really, really a good general. He knew when to retreat and when to go forward. And so they were parading, just like this, 3:30 in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, a signal was given, and he did not tell anybody. A signal was given, and he knew his lead man would run straight for the center of the line. You never do that. You try to pick off all the smaller ordnance. You pick them up. He went straight for it. the biggest cannons they had just went straight for it and overthrew them. 18 minutes, it was over. And everyone was caught kind of like, they were just kind of resting and looking at the parade. And this is all he has. This is all he has. They can't do anything. And all of a sudden, they broke the parade, and the parade turned into a charge. And they attacked them and won. And that was the end of it. You see how God can change anything in a moment. And he wants to change you in a moment. When you become a believer night and day. Now, you can't fake it, because if you fake it, God will see through it. But if you're really a believer and you say, God, I want to be with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, everything under you. Nature and nature's God. Everything. And nature would fall away, but your God's revelation, which is not just the Old Testament law, it's also the New Testament equity. Equity means equal to the fact that God originally created you to be a servant, a steward, a trustee of his, to account to him for everything you willed and everything you did. And when he comes back, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. How did they do it? You didn't. That was actually Jesus. Amen. So all that love that came from you, all that peace that came from you, all of that, that was Jesus. Oh, it was? I didn't even know he was doing that. Oh yeah, he's doing everything for your blessing. So God is great. I hope you realize this. You're the model, not only for America. You're the model for the whole world. The whole world wants to see, how did Texas make it? How did you get in charge of everything? Because at first it wasn't possible for Texas to be anything. Because they were just nothing, a waste place. But today, this is the place to be. Did you know that over a thousand people every day move into the Dallas-Fort Worth area? Not Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area daily. That helps your business. I'm just telling you, everyone needs property. They need to rent it or buy it or something. Why? This is a paradise. And people moving here from everywhere. Russians move here. Everybody, if you have money, just, yeah, give it, and, you know, get something over there in America. That America's going someplace. But Texas is the place to be. So we are the place of choice. I don't know if you know that. Yeah. This is the place. And we have enough fuel here. Forget even coal. We have abundance of coal. But just enough oil and gas here for 400 years supply the whole of America. 400 years. And it may even be more. I mean, I'm just telling you what the reserves we know about. They're there. But everywhere they go, they seem to come up with something new. We are the 10th largest economy in the whole world. Bigger than Australia, bigger than our neighbor to the north, which is Canada, bigger than them, bigger than Russia, bigger. So it's important that you realize the whole world's looking, hey, let's do business with Texas. Let's have some land there. So everything you own here is so valuable, because people, they don't want to pay $1 million for a square foot of land. That they have to do that, I'm exaggerating, but they don't want to pay that in Florida, and they don't want to pay that in Colorado. They don't want to pay that in California. But those countries could be wonderful, but they're under darkness. They're under an illusion. They've skipped Jesus long ago, but not us. Right here, we believe in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So I hope you're blessed today to know your future is bright.
Amen.
But it's even better than you can't even imagine it. You can't even imagine it, how great it is. Why? Well, I don't know. Have a good God. God's goodness and his grace and his mercy endures forever. Woohoo! All right.